To my partner in crime, Tristan H. Cockcroft. The H, I think, still stands for happy. Great fantasy writer, great fantasy talker, great at winning leagues, even better person. Thank you, Tristan.
This is the Fantasy Focused Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focused Baseball. It's a beautiful Monday, October 2nd, 2017. And one last time, I am Eric. He is Tristan. We've got Kyle the Monster Soppy and Leo the Editorial Watchdog Howl. And pushing all the right buttons is Mike Michu Robier. And we're wrapping up the season, Tristan. Hope it was a good year for you. You won some leagues, yes?
I did. I had two titles, and, you know, hey, that's good.
Championship.
And how about you?
You beat Leo by like a point, right? That was nice of you.
Yeah, it was not very nice at all. Yeah,
it was a good race.
Super close. There were tied categories within a few points. It was really good.
I know the feeling. Today's show, we're going to discuss some of the best and I hope worst of the season. Well, not a hope, but I mean, you know, you can't discuss the good without the bad. We'll also take your hash browns as always. Maybe have a little fun along the way. Play some sounds of things. Here is the buzz. All right, top guy on the player radar was Corey Kluber, beating out Jose Altuve and Charlie Blackmon. Four hitters, four starting pitchers in the top 10 overall. What does that tell us, if anything, Tristan?
I don't think it tells us much more than any of the previous years did, and that is that we tend to weight pitchers based on their accumulated stats at year's end a little bit better than hitters in terms of the rankings.
I sat down to do my top 25, and I couldn't put any pitchers in the top 10 as much as I tried. It looks a little different than yours because I remember last year's ranking. So, like, I had Chris Bryant higher than you did, Donaldson higher than you did, Machado. But, you know, same basic guys overall. And, you know, if you're trying to play it safe in the early rounds, you may not want to go after a Bryce Harper or a Giancarlo Stanton. Let's not forget Giancarlo Stanton entering the season wasn't exactly a durable player. Is he durable now? I don't know if I can go there, but... you know,
I'll tell you on yours, taking a look at it, nothing really took me too much by surprise. Donaldson at 10 is a little bit bold, I suppose. Jose Ramirez at 17 is a little bit bold.
I almost said Ramirez 10.
I like it though. I mean, I like the player. I really hope he keeps stealing bases at a decent rate. That would be the only potential criticism I have about his future.
Ramirez, you mean?
Ramirez.
Yeah. Cause I thought, I mean, if you look at Jose Ramirez's numbers, and he's eligible at two infield spots, why can't he keep developing power? Lindor did last year. So, you know, it seems to me like I had like a tier of four starting pitchers in round two. I have them all consecutive. I can't separate them by that much, so I don't see why I should. Yep. I had Harper and Stanton next to each other, neither in the top 10. I have to be a little bit cautious. But then again, so many players got hurt this year. What's the overall story of the season for you? Is it the power? Is it the injuries? Is it Kluber and the pitchers? What is it?
Honestly, I think it's the injuries. We had discussed this many times on the show during the year. It would be exhausting for me to give you the full analysis by today, so I'm going to be looking at this during the offseason. But I'm quite certain that both the number of DL moves and the days lost to it are up by a pretty noticeable amount. And that's going to require an adjustment next year.
It's
going to also, in terms of league settings, too.
Well, we're not adding DL spots or bench spots. I can't.
No, but there are custom leagues where you can consider making some adjustments, and I think that this is a year where the injuries are going to warrant a discussion in every league with every commissioner during the offseason.
But like the many guys in the top 10 or 20 who got hurt, those weren't like, hey, let's give this guy a week off type of thing, or he has a sprained ankle, or Eduardo Nunez. I mean, Trout was legitimately hurt. Kershaw, Donaldson, Harper, Bumgarner for months. Trey Turner for months. I mean, this wasn't because of the 10-day DL instead of the 15. So I don't know if it affected all that much. I mean, it was mostly like pitchers to me. Like, you know, Aaron Sanchez would have ended up on the DL multiple times, even if it was a 15-day DL, right?
Yeah. What I want to dig up, as a matter of fact, somebody made the very good point here. Where is it? I want to get the name. I'm definitely getting the name.
Well, you get the name. We'll start on the so, Kyle, what did we do here? We emailed like 10 people on our staff and said vote for best hitter, best pitcher, and stuff like that, right? Is that what we did?
Yeah, I gave them a list of four choices in each category. So when there's an argument about Charlie Blackmon being left off the ballot, I'll shoulder
that.
You
wouldn't have won anyway. I mean,
yeah, that's
what I'm thinking. For best hitter, doesn't it have to be Altuve? Ended up number one hitter on the player rater. What an amazing season. And frankly, Tristan, when I was going through my top 25, I thought, why am I automatically putting Trout above Altuve for next year? Like, you could easily make the case for Altuve. There's no risk of injury. 4 consecutive years with 200 hits. He's got the power and speed just like Trout does. Scores runs, hits for average, hits for more average than Trout does. Like, I think there's almost a better argument for Altuve. Now, I went Trout, but did I do that just because everybody else will? Like, somebody should take Altuve. What do you think of that?
You're raising the question. Why aren't you?
I don't know. I guess I hadn't thought about it enough, because if we give them the same numbers in basically 4 categories and Altuve gets an extra 30 to be conservative batting average points, doesn't that make the difference?
I'm not going to move a guy strictly based on batting average because of our knowledge of how variable this is. Now, in Altuve's defense of any player you're going to invest in terms of repeating the batting average, he would be the closest thing to it. But I think for Altuve to finish ahead of Trout next season, he's going to have a pretty sizable lead in terms of stolen bases. One thing that strikes me about the Angels is, what's the construction of that offense going to be? If you get any sort of bump in terms of runs or RBI for Trout in the prime of his career, it's going to be very difficult for Altuve to drive the numbers in 2018.
Best pitcher, looks like it came down to two guys, the two AL guys for the Cy Young. So Scherzer wasn't there, Kershaw wasn't there, no relievers, thank goodness. Corey Kluber beats out Sale. He's probably going to win the Cy Young. What a season. He was the top player on the Raider, and he's my top pitcher for next year. And it's not just the recency bias. I mean, he's really good. I think you could go with any of these four guys legitimately. Right? Kluber,
oh,
Sale, Scherzer, Kershaw, and make a good argument.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be your tier of 1, 1A, 1B, 1C. It's going to be very difficult for anybody to differentiate between any of them. By the way, Corey Kluber, league's leader in wins with 18.
Yeah, nobody had 19 wins for the first time ever.
Yep.
Right? I mean, not even 20. But, like, I think winning 20 games is going to be really tough when a lot of pitchers aren't even making 30 starts anymore. So,
yeah.
And, you know, they're throwing fewer pitches, fewer innings. It's... I mean, I'm surprised a guy got 300 strikeouts, right? I mean, Sale just threw a ton of innings.
So the follow-up to get that name for you, Doug Cheeseman, who tweeted about this one. He won his league this year with only one starting pitcher from his draft rostered. The only ones he rostered were Jeff Samardzija and Dallas Keuchel. So to that point about injuries, since we're talking about pitchers here, I think you can now get away with filling the gaps. I think it's not the premium names. It's not Madison Bumgarner. It's the lower-tier pitchers who missed some time. You had to fill in the gaps around those.
It's really important to guess right when it comes to your pitchers, as opposed to, I mean, hitters too, but like it seems to me that it's more so for the pitchers. And it's important to have an ace. It's important to have a guy you can really count on for great innings, 200 great innings with a ton of strikeouts. That's an important thing to have, right?
Mm-hmm. Certainly. And I think that the player reflects this, to go back to our original point, is that we now have the correct answers in front of us. Correct answers drive to the top of the player rater. If you guess them right, you're going to end up with, frankly, I think, better value than the hitting side. But are you going to get them right?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who took a shot on Severino late, Robbie Ray. You know, Robbie Ray and Pineda, Michael Pineda, were kind of similar going into the season. I think we looked at them as, wow, look at the strikeouts. If they could just stop allowing stuff, they'll be awesome. Ray did it. Pineda kind of did for a little while, then he got hurt. But, like, how do you forecast a Gio Gonzalez or an Ervin Santana doing that? You just, or the Brewers pitchers, Anderson and Nelson, you just can't do it. I mean, you got to get lucky a little bit. Moving on in our awards segment here, MVP, which I think should consider, like, I got tweets about this that I ignored, like, why should it, and we can all look at the player rater and see Altuve was the best hitter, but, you know, in terms of value, where you had to, what you had to spend to get a guy, Aaron Judge had to win it, I thought. Judge got 7 votes, Severino 2, and Whit Merrifield, somebody voted for him, which I think is legitimate, because going into the final week of the season, I don't know if I would have chosen Judge. I might have chosen Tommy Pham, actually, or Merrifield, but then Judge had another, you know, multi-home run game a couple times in the final week. He ends up passing 50. What a great season. He's in my top 25, but barely.
I want to throw a little love here to Giancarlo Stanton. Probably warrants some discussion there. I want to throw it to Elvis Andrus, we mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
Marcelo Zuna also had a great year that we didn't mention an awful lot.
And so do you think these things can continue? Elvis Andrus ended up as the number 10 hitter on the player rater. And the 9 guys ahead of him had kind of been there before. Votto, Arenado, except for Jose Ramirez, who I just love. That to me, like, the story of the year, injuries are one thing, but power. The amazing power. And not at the top. I mean, obviously Stanton and Judge and Bellinger and Chris Davis again. But it's the middle class. There's everybody's hitting 20 home runs now. So it's almost like you just can't afford to roster a guy like Dee Gordon or Billy Hamilton anymore. They're great for the stolen bases, but it's hard to roster those guys when Elvis Andrus hit 20 home runs. He had never even come close to that. I don't even know if he had hit double digits before. Five category player, 20 homers, 25 steals with RBI with 100 runs. He batted 297. It's the middle class that's starting to hit home runs now, which is changing everything. How does Whit Merrifield hit that many home runs? It's just, you know, I mean.
Everybody hit homers. Come on, we had the stat last week. That was a great one.
That's amazing to me. Like, Ender Inciarte hit 11 home runs. That does matter. That makes a difference.
I'm going to have to take a very close look on Whit Merrifield. There's going to be some variability on where people rank him. I'm going to see him likely as high as the 8th round. I could see some people dropping him down to the 15th round, and I probably lean a little bit more towards the pessimists here, but I also feel like I'm getting ahead of myself without doing the full research. He's going to be one of the key guys to examine closely.
Well, the Royals might lose half their offense, and there's nothing in the minors to replace them. So that could affect Whit Merrifield, who scored 80 runs in 5 months, but if he might end up batting third next year. You know, that's something to consider, too.
He certainly could. What I'm concerned about with him is the walk rate. I want to see a little bit more patience there. I'm going to have to take a look at things like his plate discipline, pitches outside the strike zone, and the like.
Least valuable player, I think it has to be Miguel Cabrera. He got 9 out of 10 votes, and Johnny Cueto got 1. I mean, Cabrera drafted as a top 10 guy. I didn't even see him on the radar. He was the number 50 first baseman. Let me read to you some of the first basemen who finished higher on the radar. Actually, I only need to read you one. Jesus Aguilar of the Brewers finished higher on the player radar, better than Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
I mean, the other guys, I mean, Lucas Duda, who ended up hitting a ton of home runs, Neil Walker, Brandon Belt. If Brandon Belt hadn't gotten the concussion, I would have won NL Labor. I couldn't replace him. I lost by one home run and 2 runs batted in. One home run and 2 runs batted. I gave full credit to the guy who won, my friend Steve, our friend, and he deserved it. But, man, if Belt or Eduardo Nunez don't get hurt or Gregory Polanco don't get hurt or who's the other guy? Oh, Jed Jerko. I mean, they all got hurt.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that finish.
No, I don't feel bad.
Second place in a league like that is exceptional.
That's a lot of points.
Long season.
Look, 6 second place finishes in 11 years, I'll take it. I'd like to win one, but, you know, this is the path. I'm okay with it. It's
nobody
about the
circles the wagons like Eric Caraba.
What am I trying to
we're
say
we're going to do the little voodoo dance, or it'll be the anti-voodoo
I'm
dance
not looking for
next
for
year.
I'm
happen.
Not looking for, you know, anybody to say, wow, awesome job. I didn't win. He won. That's okay. It's just a fantasy league. Favorite
hitter.
We got
to congratulate Steve for winning both
I did. That's
leagues.
Unbelievable. Yeah, what an achievement. What a great achievement.
And the amazing thing was where they both finished out completely differently. You had two people running away with this, battling head-to-head in a very close race. And then in the American League, remember, we had the 7 teams a month ago who were within 4 points of one another for first place. And he runs away with it in the final month.
Favorite hitter and favorite pitcher. What are those really about? Like, who just these just your favorite? Oh, were these, like, voting for, like, players versus other players?
There was a context to that, Kyle. What was
Yeah, we
question?
Just – it was pretty much just – I listed 4 guys that were kind of in the same tier and wanted to get your feel on it for who you preferred.
All right, because I didn't, you know, prep all that much. Let's see here. What do we got? Now we're just wasting time. Okay. well, we are. Favorite hitter. So Jose Abreu was up against who?
It was those four players. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Reese Hoskins, Jose Abreu, Eric Hosmer, Ryan Zimmerman for next season. I think it has to be Abreu. Hoskins did not have a good September. You know, I hate to just judge a guy based on like a week or two after we loved him so much. I feel like we did that a little bit for Eric Thames back in April. But we don't know where Hosmer's going to end up. Nobody's going to think Zimmerman does that again. Jose Abreu seems like a fourth-round pick, and Hoskins maybe a sixth-round pick. That seem fair to you?
Yeah, I could maybe push them up a little bit from there, in fact.
Favorite pitcher, listed pitcher for next season. He writes Verlander, Darvish, Carlos Martinez, and Dallas Keuchel, which seems to me like there'd be more indecision there. Who'd you vote for favorite pitcher of these four?
I had 3 of them pretty close. I had Keuchel pretty far behind. I had Darvish as mine.
I might have had Verlander as mine. I'm a little disappointed in Carlos Martinez, frankly.
I think he's going to be a good buying opportunity next year, but I can't see how anyone's going to rank him in the top 10. I just can't.
No, I don't think you can. I'm going to have Verlander in my top 10. Maybe it's wrong. Verlander and Darvish are going to be right next to each other, basically. All right, so the playoffs are here, the real playoffs. Playoff pools, let me ask you, because you were the guy who used to run it in for us. strategy? Because I'm going to write up an article here, and I forget what you used to tell me. So what's the strategy you go with here? Is it pitchers early? Basically, you find the teams you think are going to win. It's like all in. You're all in. If you think the Diamondbacks are winning the World Series, then Greinke should be like one of the first picks in the draft. Something like that, right?
Generally, yes, and I do lean towards pitching. Most of these, by nature, they have to be points leagues. Points leagues tend to favor starting pitchers, so you want the starting pitchers who are going to give you the greatest number of starts. The only thing I got to caution people is that you don't want to go overboard with it. I remember the Chin-Ming Wong postseason where he had that one terrible start, and everybody was predicting the Yankees to go deep.
But it's like
pitch too well, it's not so good.
It's not like a fantasy draft, like a rotisserie draft for the season. This is like... You know,
it's heavy on pitching.
Heavy on pitching. Some of these guys are going to be out this week. Okay, I mean, there's a game on Tuesday. Yankees or Twins, one of those teams is done. So, you know, what do you do with Miguel Sano? I don't know how I'm going to rank these guys, but I'll try to do it anyway.
You doing the ranks?
Leo asked me to, so I'm going
Excellent.
To do it. I always do what my boss is telling me to do, within reason.
I want to know who your first pick is, then.
It's going to be Kluber. Has to be Kluber. I have Cleveland in the World Series.
Okay. If you have him in the World Series, then it absolutely makes sense.
I mean, if you have Boston in the World Series, then it's Sale. If you've got Houston in the World Series, it's Verlander, right? I mean, isn't that how it works?
I think for Verlander to make that case, he'd have to not only go to the World Series, but Kluber would need to either not make the ALCS or pitch poorly in the ALCS.
Well, what's the difference?
Because there's the chance you're only going to get one start at a Verlander in the finals, and I think Kluber's a kind of a noticeably better.
There's a chance nobody could get a start in the final. Cleveland will lose in the first round.
Sure. Well, you know anyone could. We could make that case for anybody. That's, you know.
I'm just saying, like, so.
Do a bracket. This is the key. Do a bracket before you do a postseason poll. If you don't do a bracket of teams.
Well, I did. I picked the teams for MLB's coverage, and I actually have a wild card team and facing the, I think Arizona can win the National League. I see flaws in the other National League playoff teams. I mean, obviously, we've seen them all year with the Cubs. Nationals, I mean, look what happened to Scherzer. Mm-hmm. We're not even thinking of him as like a brittle player, but how many starts did he leave the season hurt? He still ended up with 200 innings, but is he even pitching games one or two? The Dodgers, Arizona owned the Dodgers later in the season. Now, I know regular season has nothing to do with the playoffs, and I'm not using that as the reason, but like I think Greinke wins on Wednesday over the Rockies, but they also have Robbie Ray. Zach Godley pitched well.
Yeah.
I'm not using Fernando Rodney as the reason I'm not picking Arizona to go all the way. I just can't do it. Archie Bradley could be just as valuable as Kenley Jansen. So, you know, but Arizona could lose Wednesday, and then I'm out in the pool if I took Zach Greinke second overall. So I don't know exactly. I mean, you have to, you know, move them down a little bit, obviously, thinking about that. Who do you have in the World Series?
I'm going with Indians Nationals.
I think that's fair. You know, you can go with pretty much any of these division winners. The playoffs should be awesome this year, right?
I feel like the American League for me is pretty heavily Indians Astros for the ALCS, but you know, as you said, anybody could take this. I think the National League is a lot more wide open. I'm with you on that one.
So looking at next season's draft, so you already did your top 300. I was lazy, only did 25. But should we do like anybody think like plant your flag or do not draft guys? It might be a little early for that. I mean, but you have any thoughts on that? Like,
so,
I'd have to look at the rank. I'd have to go deeper in my rankings to see, like, who I'm planting my flag on, proverbially, of course.
Right.
Doing a draft, I mean...
I think Carlos Martinez is probably going to be on mine. As I said, think it's a buying opportunity. I think it's likely he's going to settle at 11 or 12 for me among starters.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up there for me as well. Abreu might actually end up being a buy.
Dylan Bundy will very likely be one of my buys among starting pitchers.
Yeah, I don't see that happening with me. I guess it's possible. Kyle, what do you got for who are you buying? Who's going to be a plant your flag player next year? Who's going to be somebody you're definitely avoiding?
I think we know who I'm avoiding, but Kyle Seager is a guy that I seem to keep coming back to. Him and Jose Abreu seem to end up on every one of my teams on an annual basis. Not a ton of ceiling, but I like the floor. I'll chase the floor for both those guys. Seager wasn't great this year. I think he comes in relatively cheap next year.
Alex Bregman. I can see him being on my list. I see where you ranked him, and that's fair. He's going to be ranked better for me. He'll be a top 50 guy. We need some sound to make this show sound a little bit better. How about the combo meals?
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal! Home run plus steal!
I have no idea who had the combo meals this weekend, but it doesn't matter. Tell us who had the most for the season. Well, you know, I thought about writing in my blog today, like summing up the season. I could talk about Blake Snell. I could talk about the combo meals. And I thought, well, you know, that's probably going to last for a couple months, my top 25, and everybody will forget about Blake Snell striking out 13 in, like, 8 shutout innings. What are them? But, you know, earlier in the week, he couldn't get out of the second inning. So who had the most combo meals this season?
It's fascinating you just mentioned a name you just did a second ago. Same team.
Is Tampa Bay?
Yep.
Somebody on Tampa Bay had the most combo meals?
Yep, 6 combo meals.
Souza.
Steven Souza, yeah, Jr. Souza.
What a year for him, huh?
Yeah.
Let me see where you had him ranked, and I can rip it.
Ouch.
No, that was our last show. We should be people of love. Oh, you have him at number 120. I probably will have him in my top 100. Well, I mean, that's a lot of stolen bases. What reason would you have? Like, we ranked Keon Broxton around number 120 heading into this season, and Souza is better, right? Even though the batting average might be similar. Souza had a great year. It's hard to do rankings at this point.
I'm warming to him. I'm certainly warming to him.
All right, fair enough. So he had the most. Who had the fewest combo meals? All right, maybe not. let's do. We want to do a relief pitcher. How about the Dirty Fuente of the year?
A Dirty Fuentes. Ole!
What is a Dirty Fuentes? Just remind
you know what a Dirty Fuentes is.
That's remind everybody listening. You say it better.
It's a save of an inning or more, and the pitcher has to give up at least a run and at least 2 base runners.
Okay, so who?
So in other words, just one of those, terrible, I gave up a lot of stuff while I got a save. And if you were paying attention before the show, you'd now know the obvious answer to this question.
If I was paying attention before the show,
we'll see.
Fernando Rodney, I don't know.
Who else was listening?
Who else was listening before the show?
I bet Leo has this answer.
Half the time, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I've been a bad editorial watchdog and was apparently not paying enough attention.
He's doing football. He's not even paying attention.
He starts listening once we hit record. Before that, it's open season.
All right. It's Leo's favorite closer, Alex Colomé.
How would that be? All right. Yeah, he gave up some stuff.
6 of them.
6 of them.
Very good pitcher, though. I don't want to use that to criticize his season at all, but he just happened to lead in that.
He finished as the number six pure relief pitcher after Jansen, Kimbrel, Knebel, Osuna, and Felipe Rivero.
Yep.
Coming in at number 6. Nice.
Very underrated pitcher, Rivero.
Sure is. A lot of strikeouts. Colomé is fine. He's their closer next year. How about Brad Hand? Ending up in the top 10 among relief pitchers on the player radar.
Part of that's volume. The ability to pitch more than an inning.
Great September. Yep. Big numbers. Any other sounds you want to hear before the sound of me
reading? I'll give you the Daisy Fuentes leader.
Oh, okay.
The Daisy Fuentes.
You guys are so cute.
Ole!
Really her, I believe, isn't it?
Love it. Oh, man. I almost broke the play index during this one.
All right, what do you got?
You should know this one. Okay. You and I were not on board with this guy at the beginning of the year, and he gets lots of Ks.
Remind me what a Daisy Fuentes is.
That is a perfect inning, all strikeouts.
Oh, Craig Kimbrel.
Yep.
Yeah. What an amazing year. I was not right about him.
No, neither of us were.
Who's next year's guy like that? Like, who's a pitcher who had and not Fernando Rodney, but like, it could be Colomé. Like, who just did not have a great season in relief, and we're going to not predict them to do well, and then they're going to end up like a top 5 guy next year. That's amazing that he did that.
But wasn't the criticism we had about him all injury-related? I know for me that the
question was
the
walks. I thought it was the walks, too. His walk rate went way up last year. He was terrible in non-save chances, which count too.
Could it be Greg Holland?
It'd be like Kelvin Herrera ending up as a top 5 closer next year out of nowhere. You know?
By the way, I believe that I can't verify this, but I believe Kelvin Herrera had the Dante Fuentes lead this year.
All right, that's enough Fuentes.
That's the I wasn't even supposed to be here today.
Mike Minor. How about that? How many leagues were won and lost because of Mike Minor in the last couple of days?
Yeah, I had somebody reach out to me to say that.
You know, I mean, like, it's amazing. Like, people were tweeting us, and thank you so much for everybody listening to the show and tweeting. And people were tweeting, like, I won because of a base hit by this guy in the last at bat. Tried Trey Turner.
Yep.
It was still in the game. I don't know why. Every other national was out in the third inning. But he was still in the game, like, in late innings, and he got a hit. And somebody won a league that way. It's just amazing how this stuff. I might have ended up tied. If Paul DeJong hit a home run You saw when Leonis Martin jumped over the fence to catch it. That might have affected the league.
Yep.
That's amazing to me how, like, 6 months comes down to one at-bat.
The clinching out, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they got it. They lost.
Unbelievable. And it would have been over the fence.
It was over the fence.
Yeah.
What a season. Anyway, the competition is heating up in your fantasy football league, and as you try to pull away or play catch-up with a grueling week of trades, waiver pickups, and lineup tweaks, don't forget to let your loved ones know you care with bouquets from 1-800-Flowers.com. And take it from us at the Fantasy Focus Baseball, nothing tops the excitement of a 1-800-Flowers bouquet. And right now, when you order a dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99, 1-800-Flowers will give you another dozen absolutely free. That's 40% off the original price. This beautiful bouquet of 2 dozen roses and a rainbow of colors will leave your loved ones stunned. Without spending a fortune, it's the best of both worlds. Amazing roses at an unbeatable price. These gorgeous roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness. A dozen multicolored roses for only $29.99 plus another dozen for free is an unreal deal. And a small price to pay with all your fantasy league winnings, Tristan. You know, you won lots of money. Give some flowers. There's 1-800-Flowers.com, and then there's everybody else. You know who we trust when the game's on the line. So to order a dozen multicolored roses plus an extra bouquet for just $29.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code FFB. That's Frank, Frank Barney. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code FFB. Ah, that music one final time.
Set it as a ringtone, right? So you can hear it whenever we call you during the offseason?
Set it as your ringtone.
Sure, I'm calling you every morning.
No. All right, turning my phone off. Okay. What do we got?
Well, to tie up a couple statistical loose ends at the beginning, Tristan mentioned the home run batting average qualifier stat from earlier. Finished with 21 more hitters, hit 15 or more home runs than qualified for a batting title this year.
Incredible. That's an amazing stat.
And then Steven Souza led the league in combo meals this year with 6. In 2012 was the last time we had a player go for more than 6, and 2 players did it that year. Can you name those 2 players?
What was the year?
2012.
I'm sure I can't.
Trout.
Trout is one of them. That's the one you can name. The other one, not so much.
The other one. Oh, okay. So that's a challenge. Let's see.
Now you can get it. When it was an easy one, you couldn't get it. But now that I'm
I'm trying to think who stole bases back then. Like
Grady Sizemore. No, it would be a little further back, I think.
A little further back. Yeah.
Like it's like an Upton or like B.J. Upton or something. Right?
This guy probably held less value than B.J. Upton.
Ouch.
And didn't change his first name.
Well, that gives it away.
Yeah.
I
don't know. That's a tough one.
It's not Carlos Gomez.
Nope.
All right, who is it?
Drew Stubbs.
Oh,
really?
Stubbs. Oh boy.
All right, so
I wouldn't have gotten
memory lane.
No. All right, so we got some Twitter questions one last time here. Eric wants to know what you can expect from Julio Urias in 2018.
Is he even going to be back? That was like capsule surgery on his shoulder. And he had it in around the All-Star break, and it's at least a year. I don't think he's pitching next year until late in the year. I wouldn't even bother stashing him away. Would you?
It was season-ending anterior capsule surgery on his left shoulder. The estimated recovery time is 12 to 14 months. This is on June 27th.
Yeah, and this isn't like Tommy John. I bet we don't see Urias until like next September when the Dodgers need a David Price middle reliever for their playoff run. So I hate to be negative on this. What would you do with him in Dynasty? Do you view him the same way? He's still only 20 years old, right?
I've got a couple of super deep leagues where I would stash him, but what I have a problem with this injury and the surgery and the timetable is that it reminds me so much of what happened with Dylan Bundy and Jameson Taillon, where you might lose 2 full seasons worth and then he starts to come back. So 2019 is when he becomes relevant again. And even then, they're like the Bundy workload questions. I don't think it's worth stashing him.
Yeah. Let us do something that's positive.
I do think he still has a decent shot at a nice career, though.
But a little less than before.
This will hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm rooting for the guy. I like him. I still think he has great stuff. So
he did just turn 21. So if you he can come back from it, yeah, exactly.
But it's a shame that like we have to wait probably until 2019 now. Okay.
All right, a little more positive. Nick wants you to compare Domingo Santana moving forward to Christian Yelich.
You know, Yelich keeps getting a pass, I think, in the rankings. And he's never really had a monster year, right? I mean, I'm looking at where you rank him, and you have him at 55, and you have Santana at 69. So I guess my question is why? Because Santana has more power, probably stole more bases, too. Let me just check and make sure. I don't remember Yelich running that much. Santana had a huge year. Yeah, same steals, better batting average, so Yelich scored more runs. Yelich is only 25, but he doesn't have the look of a 30-home run guy. Santana's already done it. And Yelich doesn't look like he's going to actually steal a ton of bases either. Good player. Solid player. Santana, though, if he keeps getting better, and there's no reason why he can't. I mean, he's the same age as Yelich.
He's actually 8 months younger to the day.
I think Santana needs to be ranked above Yelich. Yelich seems like he wouldn't go on my do not draft list, but he seems like one of those picks where he's sitting there in round five, and that's where he goes. And I'm like, the numbers just don't match the hype unless he gets better. And he's got time. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to do my rankings here, but
I'd have an extremely difficult time disputing any of those. What Yelich has not corrected is the ground ball rate. It's 55%. Again, that's way too high for him to develop the potential power that we saw from Santana. Both of them do draw walks, so that helps Santana. Santana answered a major question about the injuries. He played a lot of games this year.
He strikes out. He's a batting average risk. Like, that 278 could be 258. Yelich is safer in batting average. Yelich is a good all-around player.
I would give Yelich the check mark in his column for potential steals next year because he's got more of a professional career track record than Santana does.
That's fair, too.
So what I'm hearing from Eric is that Christian Yelich is a positive contributor to society but not a monster. It kind of sounds a lot like Grover.
What do you mean? Grover's a positive contributor to anything.
I know. He's a positive contributor that's not a monster. Christian Yelich and Grover are the same person.
He's no Snuffleupagus.
No Snuffleupagus. That you
are
right.
We're ending where we started off, aren't we?
That's how everything starts and ends.
Trying to bring it full circle.
That's what I'm talking about.
How many pitchers were better on the play radar than Rick Porcello?
Oh, jeez. What's the twist at the end, Kyle? And it better be a good one. None of these.
What twist at the end? It's Christian Grover Yelich. I lost my closer Grover, so we got to go with somebody that can actually stand.
Who closes for the Nationals next season? I think that's a fair question. I mean, I don't even know Doolittle's contract status, but I'm going to look while I'm speaking. But I mean, you know, certainly there's no guarantee that Sean Doolittle stays healthy. He's 31 years old. He's had some shoulder issues. Kota Glover, still the future guy. Doolittle's got years to go. Yeah. So Doolittle's probably the guy. But is Kota Glover ever a 30-save guy?
Ever? He's got good stuff. Yeah, if he can stay healthy, I think there's going to be a year where it might happen.
Yeah, I think he too.
But, I mean, we could be looking at 2020, 2021, for all we know.
It's also shoulder issues.
The other thing with the Nationals here is I think they're going to bring in another fairly big name relief pitcher, so that's going to be another player.
I don't think they will. I think if Doolittle, they didn't do it this year. If Doolittle,
they traded for three of them,
but not big names. Doolittle wasn't a big name. Ryan Matson wasn't. Kinsler, nobody wanted. So
all of them would have been ahead of Glover in the.
Oh yeah. Look, if Glover had pitched well in April and May, none of that would have been necessary. If Glover and Blanton and who's the Sean Kelly had just pitched well, they wouldn't have needed to trade for these guys. It's a shame in a way. Like if Doolittle blows a save to lose them a World Series game, then yeah, he gets replaced. But if he pitches well and he's not the reason they lose, or if they win the World Series, he's their closer next year. That's how it works. I don't know why we're talking about this.
Well, you asked a question earlier, so I aim to please. Rick Porcello finished 80th on the player radar among pitchers. Who do you think finished 80th among qualified hitters in batting average?
80th in batting average?
Yes, sir.
Could we be more obscure?
Well, this means Mark Reynolds is essentially the batting average equivalent to Rick Porcello.
But that's not even fair. Mark Reynolds had a great season.
Of the overall pitching play rate ranking?
Yeah. It's loosey-goosey,
Mark Reynolds had 30 home runs.
Yeah, but batting average he doesn't do. Rick Porcello pitching he doesn't do.
I think we're reaching there.
I think we understand you're not
just
a fan.
Not a fan. Matt wants to know, if you're keeping Adam Eaton at $6 heading into next year, everyone seemed on board coming into the season. Obviously, injuries derailed things.
Well, what's changed? He blew out his knee. It's fixed now. He's a good, underrated player. He's Yelich. He supplies enough homers and steals to matter, safe batting average, scores runs. But you're not going to get a whole lot more. The ceiling is, we've seen the ceiling on Adam Eaton. He'll be 29 next year. I guess, you know, I don't know where he bats in the order. 1-2 with Trey Turner. He's a good player. And, you know, you could say, well, his knee's wrecked. Maybe he won't steal as many bases. He's still 14 in 2016. He wasn't, you know, D. Gordon to start with. So I will say, yeah, $6 is a pretty good price for a guy who can score 100 runs, which he can do.
I'm internally throwing a party over the idea of $6 for Adam Eaton. I think that's amazing.
It's a good price, right? Price, I mean, yeah. In labor, he would go for 20 next year.
Oh, he's surely going to go for 20-plus next year. As a matter of fact, if they go right back to the Eaton, Turner, and Harper, 1-2-3, I'm going to be completely in love with the Nationals lineup again. And to the point about the surgery taking something away, maybe he runs a little bit less, but it's not like he's an NFL running back. I don't think that surgery is one that's going to be a huge concern for dragging down his numbers.
How many shares of Chris Carson did you have, or the Vikings kid? These guys play so well, and then it's just gone.
Yeah, and I was just saying, get Dalvin Cook, too. I mean, you know, like that. I thought he was still being terribly underrated.
Injuries.
And when Eaton got hurt, I felt the same way. I thought it was one of those, you've taken one of the most exciting things about fantasy this season away from us. I mean, you know, I hate seeing injuries like this. It stinks.
$6 is a good price. I like it.
All right, okay. We've got another auction value question from Craig. He has to dump one of these stars. Given their price, who you dropping? Chris Bryant at 21, Machado at 25, Trey Turner at 12.
My goodness.
You got to drop one of those?
Jeez. Turner has to be kept. Bryant has to be. I have Bryant ahead of me. I have Bryant. Actually, I have all three in my top 10 for next year. But the highest price there is Machado, so he would probably go. Turner, I have to keep at $12. That's a ridiculous price. I think I have them 7, 8, 9. Let me check.
You do. You have them 7, 8, 9. You have Turner, Bryant, Machado.
How do you know?
Because
I didn't even send it to you.
I read your column five times.
Wow, Leo is just a...
Yeah, I'm stalking you.
Leo's doing a great job today. Thank you, Leo.
Thank you, Eric.
Oh, thank you, Leo. All right, I want the last word. All right. Leo posted it 4 minutes after I sent it. I don't even think he read it. All right. So, I think it's Machado, right? It's got to be Machado.
This is the thing. When you're talking about elite players, and that means, you know, first two rounds, let's say here for the sake of argument, just take the best players. And I'm with you. I also rank Machado third best of these.
But you have him like 20, where I have him 10.
I'm 14.
Okay.
9, 13, and 14. And that's mainly because I put a couple of the pitchers a little higher than you did. So we're pretty close on the valuations.
I like to do that where I like put all the players in like a range of a tier. Like, I do it with quarterbacks. Like, this year I probably had, like, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze all, like, 35, 6, and 7. So I got my top tier starting pitchers at, like, 11 through 14. I don't know why. It's weird. What else?
Ben wants to know, who are you keeping for next year, Bregman or Carrasco?
Wow.
I can't even answer that because I don't know where Carrasco has to be a top 10 starting pitcher. And a top 10 starting pitcher is going to definitely be in the top 50. And Bregman's going to be in my top 50. That's a hard one because it depends on who I take with the first three or four picks. But who will I rank better? I have a feeling Carrasco I got ranked better. You have Carrasco ranked better, right?
I rank Carrasco 56th. I ranked Bregman 67th. I have a hunch Bregman doing the deep analysis is going to move him up maybe 10 spots, but...
I feel like I might like Carrasco more than you. So I think he's going to be... I don't know why... Like... People are going to rank Darvish over Carrasco. Why? Why is that automatic?
I don't know why that's automatic.
I don't view that way. I think I'm going to have Carrasco over Darvish.
Actually, I think Carrasco gets in the conversation once you get to 8 among starting pitchers.
I do, too. I think once I get to 8 or 9, it's Carrasco, Darvish, Verlander. They'll all be over like Lester and Archer.
Where's DeGrom go, then?
They'll be over DeGrom. I mean, I my number 5 has to be... Bumgarner, 5-6 has to be Bumgarner, Greinke, I feel. And then you open it up.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I think it'll end up for me.
I think if we're doing this just in the vacuum today, I'd tell you to keep Alex Bregman because we lean to the hitter, and that's the only reason.
Oh, you see, like, I'm looking at you. Oh, I forgot Strasburg. So, yeah.
Strasburg, I think, is definitively in the top 7.
Though. Yeah, I think he's right where Greinke is. So my top 7, and then, like, I don't know if Syndergaard and DeGrom make my top 10. Severino probably doesn't.
Syndergaard is very likely to change a lot, and I might be just being optimistic.
I can't believe they pitched him yesterday. What a dysfunctional team. All right. So, yeah, Carrasco I probably like a little bit better than you, and I love Bregman, but I probably would take Carrasco first. All right, what else?
Leo from Bristol has a question.
Oh, Leo, what do you got? First time, long time?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've always wanted to get my question answered on the air.
Why is Tristan so mean? Yes. That's a good question. Tristan, you want to answer that question for yourself? Why are you so mean? Leo really wanted to win the league. You didn't even send him flowers. What's wrong with you?
I have time. That code's still valid.
Right, right, right.
You win 10 leagues every year, and you couldn't just let the kid win one league. One league is all he wanted. Couldn't let him happen. Couldn't let him happen.
213 leagues this year. That's not a good ratio.
It's more. If it's more than the ratio of people in the leagues, you're fine. Anyway, I want to win a dynasty league in the future, and so I'm looking at a few middle infielders that I would like for you to rank for 2018 and beyond, if you could. There are three guys here: Tim Anderson, Ketel Marte, and Ozzy Albies.
That is an interesting one.
I feel like Albies has to be first in a dynasty because the future should be really, really bright for him. We know he's going to bat at the top of a lineup. Can't really say that for sure for the other guys. We think he'll get on base. He should run. Braves' future looks good. I don't know if I'll have any of them in my top 100, but I feel like, first of all, it's very strange that the music stopped. Second of all, I would rank them Albies, Anderson, Marte. I don't know what Marte is yet. Like, I feel like he can be a capable shortstop who plays every day. But is he a 15 homer guy? No. Is he a 15 steal guy? He should be. But
he should be. I think it's going to be tough for him to get beyond that number, and that might be if that's
not even guaranteed to start. Really, I mean, he played well enough this season, but he didn't show any power. Couldn't slug 400. Didn't steal 3 bases in half a month.
Marte and Anderson are almost polar opposites here. He's a contact guy who draws walks, and Anderson doesn't walk at all and does not make very good contact. And yet I really want to make the case for Tim Anderson.
I want to make the case for the song. What is it? This is the beginning of a Streisand song? What is this? Bernie Williams again? Just piano music?
This is like the credits music on a sad love story.
Yeah, it's the sad music since it's the last pod.
Well, I'm going to rank them. Albies first, Anderson second.
Let's get some upbeat music here.
See, now, Mishu won't admit it, but this was his favorite podcast. See, every time I asked him, he said no. You know, it's probably like 10 times.
Did I say no? I thought I was very
forward. You actually did say no. I asked you that question on the last show, and you said no. You didn't even, give me another answer. I was like, wow, that apparently was a dumb question.
I think you asked me if this is my easiest show to work on, and I said, maybe not.
How could it not be the easiest show?
Let's roll back the tape.
It's like 1A and 1B.
We don't curse.
that's very helpful. Thank you. But this is one of my favorites. I don't choose favorites around here, but you guys know I love this. Love this one.
Okay. There
How
you
many
go.
Times have you said that today?
Once. Yeah, this exactly. is my only podcast today.
All right. There I guess if we have this music, Tristan, do you have any final thoughts before I go into some soliloquy that I haven't planned?
Yeah. Let's give the thanks to everybody here.
All right, well, maybe I'll do that, too. That's it.
Why not?
Better to burn out than to fade away. Remember what Dr. Seuss once wrote? I have this on my screen. Fantasy is a necessary ingredient in living. It's a way of looking at life through the wrong end of a telescope, and that enables you to laugh at life's realities. I don't think he meant fantasy football or baseball, but we hope we kept it a little real, too. Thanks to those who helped out along the way, A.J. Mass, who played a big role in this season, Dave Schoenfield, Stefania Bell, Keith Lipscomb, Tom Carpenter, Tim Cavanaugh, Daniel Dopp, Frank Dale, and Pete Genesini and Pierre Biquet as well. To Kyle Soppe, who always wanted to work at ESPN, and you know what? He made it happen.
Bright
future for this kid.
Dedicated.
Dedicated, good kid. Listen to him on the Fantasy Focus Football as well.
An invaluable resource on the show.
Appreciate that, guys.
Good job out of you, Kyle. To Leo Howell, who sometimes still can't believe he gets paid to work in fantasy. Hey, pal, we can't either. Go Rays, go Swansea. To Mike Mishu Rabie, will someone buy this guy some flowers already? Or at least deliver some food to his house. Best of luck. Hope we get to work together again. To my partner in crime, Tristan H. Cockcroft. The H, I think, still stands for happy. Great fantasy writer. Great fantasy talker. Great at winning leagues. Even better person. Thank you, Tristan. Hope to see you soon. Most of all, to the many listeners, for your loyalty for such a long season and good and not so good times. And, of course, for supplying your many hash browns. We love them and we'll miss them this offseason. To all, enjoy the real playoffs and have an awesome offseason.
All right, well, the first thing is I have to thank Eric because he's endured my craziness for an entire season, so that deserves the biggest thanks at all. But most certainly to everybody, Eric, as you said, AJ and Dave, for stepping in during a little bit of a challenging summer for me, that's for sure. So I wanted to give a very big thank you, especially them. We also had three other guests that I wanted to thank here. Tim Kirchen, Keith Law, Al Zeidenfeld also stepped in for this year, so thank you as well to them. And I think that's about it. I thank you guys. I'm going to miss this. This is one of the most exciting things for me, and I'm kind of bummed we won't have another show on Thursday this week. I don't know. Weird.
We can just set up a Skype call and just all talk. I'll have Mitri send me the drops, and we can just play them and listen to them.
See, the listeners would love that, and that's who we have to. Yeah, as Eric said, my many thanks go out as well to the listeners, because they're the ones who make this happen. I mean, without them, what's a show, right? Everything is awesome. Thank you.